Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. And as you know, those of you who've been listening, I know you can feel it, folks. I know you can feel it. You're feeling your IQ go up a point every minute or so. Your IQ jumps up another point. And those of you who just tuned in, look what you got to look forward to. I'm excited about being here, folks. You know where I am. I'm in the Woodlands, Texas, north of Houston, hard by to Houston at the Administaff Small Business Classic, second year in a row. And got Suzanne Haugen in the room here. She's just one of the best I've ever worked with. Great lady. Thank you so much, Susan, for all your help. And I'm sitting in front of Marty Surratt, who's a new friend. And he's about to become a new member of our Brain Trust. He's Managing Director of Sales Performance Improvement at Administaff. Marty, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here, Jim.
Thank you for being part of the team that's been so cordial and hospitable to me and my folks here this week. And it's just a wonderful experience for us every year.
Well, we're glad to have you, and we hope you come back.
Well, I'm taking that as an invitation.
You got it.
We will be back. We plan to. This is so much fun. One of the best weeks of the year for us. And Marty, everybody knows nothing happens until somebody sells something.
That's exactly right.
Somebody's got to make a sale, and I know the accountants don't like to hear that. The actuaries don't like to hear that. The whoever else is not in sales don't like to hear that. I used to work in a company, and some of the service people would always complain to me because they thought I made more money than they did because I was in sales. And I always carried an application in my coat. After a while, I started carrying an application in my coat. And whenever they start grousing, I just pull it out and hand it to them. Fill it out. I'll turn it in and recommend you.
There you are.
You know, you just join the group here, you know. But they never did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they felt like they were going over to the dark side or something if they joined sales. But anyway, nothing happens until somebody makes a sale, and which is the coolest thing about salespeople. But salespeople love to sell; they don't like detail. They don't like management all that much.
Correct.
The dumbest thing anybody ever did was take the best salesperson they had and make them a sales manager.
Most of the time, that's true.
Right. That's a big mistake. Nine out of ten. Right.
Yes.
So, you know, we love these salespeople. We love them. We encourage them. They're like thoroughbreds, right? They're like, you know, they just are great, but they have to be herded like the proverbial cats.
Yes, they do.
And that's your job. That's what you do.
That's it.
Talk to us about that.
Well, it is difficult sometimes because it does seem like most of your best salespeople are almost like individual cats that don't want to be in a herd, and there's several reasons for that. The one thing you do have to remember, though, is that they are human.
Really?
And because, yes, believe it or not.
That's a little known fact, ladies and gentlemen.
And because of that, though, there are some things that you appeal to in human nature, even to those people, that seem to work very, very well when you're trying to really get them to perform at the top level.
Right. How do you do that?
Well, the main thing that I know is to make sure that everybody in your sales force, your top dogs to your bottom dogs, know where the bar is. Everybody wants to know, if I get over this bar, I've done my job.
Right.
Now, your top performers are always going to get over the bar.
Right.
But too often, particularly in smaller companies, that sales manager has not clearly defined where that bar is.
Well, it's sad to say, but in some little companies, sales manager is just a glorified salesperson with that title on their card.
Mm-hmm.
No training, no official training. See, I want you to, the people I want you to talk to today, and if you are talking to, are not the salespeople. They're not listening anyway. they're listening. They don't want to hear what you got to say anyway. They hear that at work. But I want you to speak to the person who actually is in sales management, who doesn't have the training, who's never met another sales manager, maybe, but they've been promoted by the boss or whatever. Maybe it is the boss. maybe the boss recognizes I'm having to do the sales management.
Correct.
And we're gonna, I want to talk in a little bit about when do you hire a sales manager, mm-hmm. and what does that look like, and what do you have to do? There are some things you have to do. So anyway, go ahead and continue what you were talking about.
Well, the sales manager that's never done it before or just has a few people on staff or whatever, he or she has to define what that sales role is. And if without a definition, it's always going to be cloudy, it's always going to be gray, and you'll never know whether or not you're herding it into the right corral
right.
or not.
Right.
And that's the first thing that they have to
what
do.
What does that look like?
It's
set our bar for us.
The bar would be set by saying, okay, if you make widgets, we need to sell X widgets per month.
Mm-hmm.
We need to sell it at this margin if you need to get that deep.
Right.
But define what needs to happen so that there is a bar set. Human nature says, if I have a job, I want to get over it, and
right.
I'm going to do what I can.
Hold on to
get
that thought, Marty. We're going to take a quick break, 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. We'll be right back with Marty Surratt. Stay with us.
It took me by surprise. Every day I get in the queue to get on the bus that takes me to you.
We're back, 7-2. We're on the Magic Small Business Bus here with Marty Surratt. He is Managing Director of Sales Performance Improvement. I love that title, Marty. Did you write that yourself?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you had to come up with that, right?
You need something unique every now and then.
You weren't on any kind of drugs when you came up with that.
I don't think so, but okay. It was a long night.
It's just a natural high, right?
There you are.
Well, you know, that's the thing. See, I think that's the thing that people admire. And they admire, they're a little bit in awe of, and some people are jealous of salespeople. Because
yes.
we have that natural high.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a form of mental illness. I admit that.
Normally we enjoy the mornings.
Exactly. Disgusting morning people typically. Okay, we're talking about this bar that you think that the sales managers should set for your employees. By the way, folks, I'm broadcasting live from Woodlands, Texas, at the Administaff Small Business Classic, having a great time with our good folks here, all of our new friends and old friends. But let's set this bar again. I think that's one of the big mistakes that small businesses make who don't have a professional sales organization. They have salespeople, and maybe they're individually professional. Maybe they're doing a good job individually. They're individually professional. but they don't have a professional organization. Two different things.
Correct,
right?
Yes.
And that's got to be one of the essential elements of a professional organization is the bar that you're talking about. And you said, you know, you got to sell it at this price, you got to sell it at a margin, this margin, you got to make sure you get the credit report, fill out the forms properly, and all that kind of stuff, and sell enough of the widgets. But do you think that it's important for the salespeople to know why that number was arrived at? Let's say the widgets. Okay, we got to sell, you, John, have to sell 10 widgets this week, this month, whatever, and it's important to say because you're one of five, that makes 50 widgets this week for the company, which the company has to sell 50 in order to make a profit to do this and this. Is it important for us to see the whole thing, or should we just say if you sell five widgets, you make $100,000?
Well, I think your question specifically can be answered based upon your generations.
Okay.
I mean, baby boomers, tell them what they need to do, and they'll do it.
Yeah. Knock the wall down, they'll knock the wall down.
That's right. You know, if you need the hill done,
yeah.
just tell me when by, and I'll get it done.
No questions asked, pretty much, you know.
Yep.
Okay.
You have your Generation Y, you have your Generation Zers, and all those. Those people want to know every single thing
they can
before they decide, is this something I want
to
do?
Now, see, this is very interesting. We've done quite a bit of generational wave type of things on the show. We've got some generational experts, but we've never really talked about it in terms of sales. Are you saying to me, excuse me, that John Baby Boomer, who's the guy who will knock the wall down if you tell him,
yep.
begets a son or a daughter who's Gen X, same sales ability, everything's the same, different generation, got to treat them differently.
I'm going to treat them differently because they hear differently and they're motivated differently. And because they're motivated differently, I will treat them differently. I'll hold them to the same bar.
Right.
But whereas I'm going to tell Father Scott, here's what I need for you to do. Right. Here's your goals. Thank you very much. And he's off. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to say, Scott, son, here's what I need. Here's why I need it. And once we accomplish this, here's what I'm going to be able to do. Now, their buy-in is going to be the same as the Father's,
yeah,
even though I have two specific different messages.
Wow.
And trust me, if you will do this, this will work.
Wow. Are you familiar with the book, They're Not Aloof, Just Generation X?
Yes.
The author of that is a good friend of ours and a member of our Brain Trust. And we've covered that on the show. My audience has heard all about the Gen Xers. And the Gen Y's too, but we've never talked about it from a sales management standpoint.
It's
very interesting.
It's as real as can be. And so your message, particularly if you were addressing a large room of people where you have different ages,
mm-hmm,
you have to make sure you have things peppered in there for everyone.
See, and so folks, listen, if you're not having the kind of success that you think you should be having with these younger people, and you don't know why, because especially if you're like me, you're a little long in the tooth, you've been managing the boomers and maybe the older crowds too a little bit, and now you got these other folks coming along here, and you feel like they're looking at you like you're speaking a foreign language.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on, isn't it?
If they're
looking at you like you're,
yes,
speaking a foreign language, you've just had a drive by a Gen Xer or something like that, haven't you?
That's exactly it. A lot of times when you and I think we've communicated something very clearly, it hasn't happened because we have not communicated in their message.
This sounds like I'm talking to my wife and I are having a conversation. Is it like that?
Well, I'm not going to get into your personal affairs, so I'm not sure about that.
Come on, throw me a bone here, Marty. Work with me.
It is amazing, though, just how specific you can speak to the generations and making sure that they understand where that bar is. And based upon what happens, if everybody's able to get over that bar, what goes on?
And the thing about what you just said, which I think is really important thing for you to say, and I really appreciate you bringing it to us. The thing about that is, I think I've been around long enough. My mentors were the GI guys.
That's right.
The GI generation.
Yes.
And so I think I've been around long enough to say that I don't think there's ever been a time when the generations have been so different. Would you agree with that?
I think that'd be a true statement.
Wow. We just learned some things here, folks. I told you we would do that. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from the Administaff Small Business Classic in Woodlands, Texas. Whatever you do, don't go away. You don't know what we can see. The boot's better than that. I don't want to hear it. Robert Cray is the best. Don't have one of his albums. I don't get a penny for saying this. If you don't have a Robert Cray album, you're not listening to blues, ladies and gentlemen. You like blues, Marty?
I do like blues.
Marty Surratt, how you like Robert Cray?
I don't know Robert
you
Cray.
I'm going to fix that. I'll fix that. We'll send you a Robert Cray album. Marty Surratt, ladies and gentlemen, is with us. He's Managing Director of Sales Performance Improvement at Administaff.com. Would it be possible if you might actually know the website?
Administaff.com, yes.
Isn't there a phone number, too, or something?
Yes, there is. 1-800?
We know that. I know that part, Marty.
Okay, all right.
I don't know the rest of it. We'll get that, though, right?
You betcha.
We'll work that out. Anyway, okay, we're setting this bar now.
Yes.
And what's the biggest mistake sales managers make with that bar?
Well, it boils down to when the sales rep has gone out, if they're trying to get over the bar, the month is over, the week over, whatever the sales cycle period
right.
is that, you know, you're measuring.
Right.
And sales rep doesn't make it. They don't get over the bar.
Could be a lot of reasons. A
million different reasons.
Yeah, maybe a hurricane hit.
Yes, exactly.
Who knows?
Exactly. But let's just say that happens over some consecutive months or weeks
right.
or whatever.
Right.
Where the sales manager makes the biggest mistake is not holding accountable that salesperson getting over that bar.
Don't tell me they move the bar.
They will move the bar.
Oh, say it ain't so, Marty.
Oh, I am so sorry to tell you that it is so. And by lowering the bar or shifting the bar or sometimes just removing the bar, then sales manager has lost all credibility.
Yeah, everything. The whole thing.
One other thing.
The sales manager, the goals, they got to be, that's, You can't do that. You can't have a moving target.
You cannot. And when the sales rep has been working so hard to try to get over that bar,
right,
because human nature says that's what I want to do,
right,
and then when the sales manager, for whatever reason, decides to change it or move it, sometimes to try to help the sales rep, that then tells the sales rep, well, that wasn't as permanent as I thought.
Right.
So I'm not going to bust my butt.
Nothing's believable after that.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. You know, I've had a lot of sales managers in my life. I spent a lot of years in sales, and I learned something about working with sales managers. And then these are people who could fire me. You know, they had the ability to fire me. And whenever things got to a point where I was having difficulty, and I thought, you know, I was about to get chewed out, or I was in some kind of jeopardy, whether it be minor jeopardy or major jeopardy, I made sure my manager was a partner with me in that challenge. I didn't wander off out there by myself on that limb by myself. I made sure that if the limb got cut off and we were on the end of it, that he was with me.
Yes.
What do you think?
I would agree.
Is that good advice for everybody?
Well, I think it's good advice, and it's particularly good advice for less tenured reps.
Yeah.
I mean, they need sales managers to be able to go out and show them the ropes and the tricks and those sort of things. And when you do get on that limb, it's not because you're trying to be the maverick. It's because that's where the fruit was, and that's where you were trying to go.
Yeah.
And it's very, very important that if things are going south for whatever reason, that as a sales manager, you're there to help them.
Right.
You know, we don't make every sale that we attempt, you know, and things are going to happen where it's not going to go the way we want it to.
The most important four-letter word that any salesperson ever learned to say, and that should say them on a regular basis to their sales manager, is help.
Amen.
And to sales managers, there are 8 letters I want you to hear, and I want you to do this. Help them.
Yes.
And if you can get those 12 words out there, a lot of ills would be cured, wouldn't they?
Yes, and I'd say something else. And if you're a sales manager, and when your sales rep says, I need help, and if you don't have the time to do it, something's wrong with your job description.
That's right, which is something that we wound up not having time to talk about. And I want you to come back, Marty, and talk about this. Don't let me forget this. And that is sales managers who are not really full-time sales managers.
Yes.
They work with customers. They've got their own territory or whatever. That's the growing pains of a small business.
That's correct.
But you got to get out of that because you can't. It's hard to do both well.
Yes, it is.
And so next time you're here, I'm going to talk about that. Marty Surratt, thank you for being here.
Love to.
Good job, and let's do this again real soon.
Let's do it.
All right. Marty Surratt, ladies and gentlemen, with the Adventist staff. He is the Managing Director of Sales Performance Improvement at Adventist. What is that phone number? Hurry.
1-800-465-3800.
All right. We got it in there. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from Adventist staff, Small Business Classic in Midland, Texas. Woodlands, Texas. I'm back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.